Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and from New York is Mr. David Paxson there on your left if you're watching us in video form. And today we're going to be talking about the fall of America, how America is about to be completely destroyed. No, actually, we're talking about how America is going to make a choice. It's either going to be blessed or it's going to be cursed. And right now, our president, and I'm speaking as a member of the U.S. Press Association, right now, our president is taking us on a path which does lead to America being cursed. Would you agree with that, Mr. Paxson?
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly what he said. You know, you bless Israel and I'll bless you. You curse Israel, I'll curse you. Well, you know, he also talks about if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. So, like, we had 3% during the revolution that wanted to change things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was only 3%.
Yeah.
But it was the righteous 3%. And I think if we do something like that now, even if just the righteous 3% of the nation would humble themselves and pray, I think that may change around.
Yeah. I wonder, do you think there's 3% of America that's Christian? I mean, really, you know, really Christian. Do you think there's 3%?
Yeah, I would guess that. Honestly, I think that would be the max.
Yeah, me too. You know, and that's going to surprise a lot of people. They're going to say, oh, well, you know, I go to church every Sunday. Yeah, and you're probably going to church on Sunday after the rapture, too, because you're listening to bad doctrine. You know,
there's an extra seat for you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's really about how it's going to be. I, of course, now we're both of us are talking opinion here, you know, but whenever I see Christians that are supposed Christians anyway, that are backing certain policies, I'm sorry. I've got to question whether or not they're truly Christian or not, because, you know, some of those policies, they may be legal, but God don't like them.
There's a whole other can of worms to get into.
There you go. Yeah. And we're going to get pretty much into it today. You know, I normally try to stay away from politics, but the politics is really dominating everything right now. And so I'm gonna start with this one, and this gives you an idea.
Well, Monday we'll see the opening statements in this trial against Donald Trump. The prosecution laying out why they think Donald Trump falsified dozens of business records to cover up an alleged affair that he had with an adult film star, and tried to buy her silence just ahead of the 2016 election when he was running for president. He denies the affair, and he denies the hush money payments. It's taken a week to find a jury of 12 men and women who say that they can be impartial in this trial, a trial that's likely to last 6 weeks and could have a significant impact on his re-election bid. There is a chance that it could electrify his base, rallying behind him. But at the same time, if he's convicted at the end of this trial, it could turn off many undecided voters who perhaps won't want to vote for a convicted criminal in the presidential election. I'm Nick Harper in Washington.
Yeah, well, okay. Do you remember a guy named Gary Hart that was a Democrat?
Yeah.
He was running for president, and all of a sudden he had an affair on a boat. I wish I could remember the name of the boat, because it was really bad. But anyway, nothing happened with him. Kamala Harris is a former prostitute. She's vice president of the United States. I don't see anything happening to her. Well, yeah, I'm being kind. Joe Biden is a senile old man that can't get through two sentences without stumbling, and who just recently said that his uncle was eaten by cannibals.
I mean, Babylon Bee just had that his heart was ripped out by...
I mean, this is insanity. You know, only one that was speaking the truth, and I don't even remember the lady's name, a senator, I believe, in the Democratic Party. You know, she basically just said, you know, we'll do whatever we have to. We'll do whatever we have to do to stop Trump from being on the ballot.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, they kind of leaked that out.
Yeah.
This is just to try and get him off the ballot.
So right.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. The news report is like, oh, this may turn people off to Trump. Everything they've ever done to him just gets more people on his side, because
right.
People, they're not dumb. Like, as far as that goes, they understand, hey, you're trying to sabotage a political opponent.
Right.
What is he doing? And then they look into him and they're like, yeah, you know, maybe I like this guy.
You know, I never thought the United States would be a third world country. in regard to politics. Mm-hmm. But everything that they're doing right now is what the what do they call this, banana republic?
The kangaroo court.
Yeah,
the banana republic.
Everything we're doing now is like that. You know.
We are crazy. 400 years old. I mean, not from the Independence Day, but from establishing, this entity that we have.
Right.
And that's about the lifespan of kingdoms.
Yeah, it is. And the sad part of it is the United States, there's no reason for us to be at this point. There's just not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was just direct sabotage of a perfectly good country that has been taken over by that senile old fool up there. And he just, and honestly, I'm gonna say this. Honestly, I don't blame Joe Biden. I blame Jill Biden because she is so full of herself and wanting to be first lady so bad that she will put her husband out there and make him into a comic book character and hope he has 8 years of it. And then she'll probably kick him to the curb once it's over, personally.
That's right. This way she can turn her curtains into a dress again and be famous. So this is ever since the babysitting days, too. I mean, she kind of tried that, back then, too, but it didn't work because he was a goon back then as well.
Yeah.
And we all know that, he's just a puppet at this point.
So. Right. Exactly.
But what's interesting is, remember Avenatti?
Yes. He wants to testify for Trump.
He actually came out and defended Trump. It's like Cohen and the hussy, they were in cahoots to get Trump. And he's defending Trump. He's like, I know for a fact because I defended her. And now he's like, these two were definitely in cahoots to, put the screws into Trump.
Yeah.
Notice my language.
That guy, all he wants is publicity. That's it. That's his whole life.
Isn't that a strange twist of events?
Yeah, it's crazy. All right. Now, we need to talk about Israel, of course, and that's where we're really going to go today is with Israel, and America is right in the middle of it, which is the reason for the America Blessed or Cursed title today. But
can we talk about General Soros first?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, so Heil Soros is actually from what I understand, reports are that he's extremely ill and not long for this world.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that? I mean, he's thinking somehow he's gonna just make his body live 1,000 years or whatever with his space suits and whatnot. But
I don't know. I just know that his son is the one. He's already handed over. From my understanding, all the reporting that I've seen, he's already handed over control of his, at least the majority of control to his son for all of his empire or whatever.
He's twice as bad, right?
Yeah, and his son is supposed to be a lot worse than him. I can't imagine that. I mean, it must be the devil himself, but good grief.
Remember that show, The Weakest Link? You are the weakest link.
Well,
I think this one should be, you are now the Antichrist.
We have, you hear us, David and I are just blasting this man, and he's, and deservedly so, by the way. But anyway, we also pray for him. And he is a perfect example. This guy has, he basically sold his soul to Nazis, turning over other Jews during World War II to where he could live. And to where he could profit, and I can't think of a worse thing in to do to God in regard to the Jewish nation. I mean, one man sent who knows how many to death, and yet, if he was to accept Jesus Christ today, he'd go to heaven. He would be saved. So if you think you can't be saved, I'm talking to everybody out there. If you think you can't be saved. Anyone can, and that's coming from somebody who has no real right to be saved. That's me, and I'm saved. So you
Paul
can
was
be
doing
too.
That, right? He was killing everybody.
Right. Yeah.
So I heard, I don't know if this is true. I heard, like, was it Jeffrey Dahmer got saved in jail, too? And now he's preaching?
I heard that, too. And I'm not sure if that's a fact or if that's just something that somebody was hopeful about. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't have any facts on it. I don't know.
Oh, I did see a cool meme, though. He was in Five Guys Burgers, and he says, this doesn't taste like Five Guys.
Oh, good grief, David.
That's pretty bad, right?
Okay.
Cut!
All right. I want to play this one for everybody. This one's real short. Listen to this.
Israel's military intelligence chief has resigned over failures around the October 7th attacks. Major General Aharon Haliva accepted responsibility for failing to foresee and prevent the attacks by Hamas that killed 1,200 people.
Okay. And that's it. That's the full report. Okay, and that's about the only report that you're going to hear about anybody in the IDF, because Israel took action. They wanted to find out who, you know, what happened, how come our people got hit, and they found the guy that's responsible for it, who ignored the intelligence that was given to him and allowed this to happen, so he resigned. Well, who ever took responsibility for 9/11? And any idea?
There's many of us that believe it should have been other than the popular opinion.
You know, I mean, Israel does, they try hard, you know, to protect civilian lives, to protect their mm-hmm. country, of course. And that was a 15-second snippet. And honestly, yep. It wasn't a snippet. That was the whole report. That was the whole thing. I didn't edit it. That's the whole report. 15 seconds. You know, it's incredible.
Yeah, because now they say, oh, we talked about it.
Yeah. it's crazy.
And then brush it off.
All right.
Yeah, now then, anything that has to do with a positive outlook on Israel, right. They kind of shy away from.
Exactly. So I'm going to play this one now. This is a two-part thing. Okay, so I'm going to play the American version first. And then I'm going to play the spotlight. Okay, so listen to this one real quick.
The House of Representatives approved a series of foreign aid bills on Saturday that allocate substantial funds, including $60.8 billion for Ukraine's aid, $26.38 billion for Israel's assistance, and $8 billion towards the Indo-Pacific region's support.
One bill, providing $8 billion in military assistance to the Indo-Pacific area, including Taiwan, passed the House with an overwhelming majority of votes. Democratic Representative Rashida Tlaib from Michigan was the sole member who voted present. The Ukraine foreign aid bill secured passage. Liam White reporting.
So now let's go over those numbers real quick before I play this, the follow-up one. The United States is now sending an additional over 60, did you say billion or million? I think you said billion.
$61 billion.
Yeah, $60 billion to Ukraine, who is losing,
yeah,
and
we
who
can't
will
take
lose.
Care of our homeless vets, but we can send him $61 billion.
Okay, now they're losing, and it's proven that they're losing, and they're, you know, even they're saying they're out of ammunition right now. They're trying to get the United States aid in there to get them bullets. Okay. But they're going to lose. They're a small country up against a superpower. Okay, the numbers don't lie. Russia will win eventually, one way or the other. Now we're sending $80 billion to them over there, and we're sending $20 billion to Israel, who was attacked mm-hmm. and who's supposed to be our ally. A real ally. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, we're sending three times as much
over there.
Yeah. Explain that. How do we ignore Israel when they're our best friend in the region? And then, you know, the Ukraine, they wanted to impeach Donald Trump because he had a phone call with the Ukraine. Now we're sending them $80 billion? Right. Seriously? I mean, what's up with this stuff? I don't get it.
Yeah. And then Biden on tape saying, oh, well, look at that.
he changed his mind. Yeah.
With the hostage.
Yeah. If you don't fire the guy that's prosecuting my guilty son, then I'm going to pull, I know. All right. Now here's the spotlight. And I want y'all to listen to this really quick, very, very closely because I call this a full of it report. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just listen to this one.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking today at the vote, finally, in the House of Representatives on Saturday, to support another $60 billion in US military aid for Ukraine. It has taken months to get through the chamber due to infighting among Republicans and the opposition to any further support for Kyiv from Trump-backed members of the party's caucus. The Speaker of the House, Republican Mike Johnson, may yet face a leadership challenge over what right-wing members of his party consider his treachery in pushing the measure through. Lee Turner is a former British ambassador to Ukraine.
I think that people in the US debate have become involved in a very understandable but partisan kind of debate about where to spend money. And what the opposition, which is the Republican Party at the moment, have been trying to do is to stop anything that the government of Joe Biden wants to do. And so they're coming up with any argument they can think of just in order to score political points in Washington. The fact is that if Russia were allowed to win its war against Ukraine, it would mean orders of magnitude more military spending, including for the US, than this package that they've just passed.
President Biden wants to rush the aid to Ukraine as quickly as possible to help Kyiv's forces prepare for an anticipated Russian offensive. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
Now, I don't know who Simon Marks interviewed there, but that guy's a complete idiot. I mean, mm-hmm. he is an idiot from the word go. Number one, he's a partisan hack. Number two, he's saying if Russia is allowed to win, I didn't know that you got to pick whether or not you won or lost in anything.
Allowed to win.
Russia's not being allowed to win. Russia is kicking their butt. Okay. And that's end of story on that. And it's not partisan people trying to hold money back because we want the Ukraine to be destroyed. We're trying to maybe give some money to secure our border, to keep terrorists out of the United States where we don't have another 9/11 here times 10 because we've got like 15 million illegals that have crossed illegally into the United States of America under the leadership of Mr. Biden. And I promise you that out of that 15 million or so, that one or two of them are terrorists, maybe one or 2,000, maybe one or 200,000. We have no idea, and they don't either. So, you know, make sense out of that one.
And you know, it's everybody knows it. If you prolong the war, you're just prolonging people getting killed in
misery.
The war.
Right.
And it's going to be, it's just going to wind up that way anyway. Yeah. I mean, really, what, we're going to keep funding them until they finally defeat Russia? How's that? No.
That's never going to happen.
You're not going to do that. Russia's huge.
Right.
And they're determined and that's what they do. They're from the Scythians, people. They don't care. Right. So there's clearly some kind of laundromat going on here.
Yeah.
And if you really were concerned about Ukraine, you would just say, you know what, stop fighting now so people don't get killed.
There you go. Yeah.
Right? And because if you just prolong this, not only will the people that are getting killed now get killed, but then you're going to continue to have more and more people getting killed. So just rip the Band-Aid off, in my humble yet totally accurate opinion.
You're right. And the thing is, people do not understand. This hasn't been repeated enough yet for it to get through to the American people. And that is that we made a deal with the former Soviet Union that we would not allow Ukraine to become a member of NATO in exchange for taking down the Berlin Wall and allowing Germany to reunite. That was made during the Reagan administration, during the George Bush the First administrations. And then we broke our word when we started saying, well, maybe Ukraine can be a part of it. And moving troops close to the border that really ticked off Russia. And they said, okay, well, you know, you're going to break your word, then we're going to prevent the Ukraine from joining NATO. And that's what caused the whole thing in the first place. And then on top of that, we had a deal. I understand. I can't remember the country that was getting this together, but they had come up with a deal to end the war, but because of international pressure, they never consummated that deal. So the war goes on, you know. So anyway, the United States is not, you know, little Mr. Nice in this thing. You know, we took our part at it. Now, I'm not excusing Russia. Please understand me. I'm not excusing Russia, and I'm not even for Russia at all under any circumstances. But the Ukraine cannot win. They just can't. Numbers don't lie. You just, you know, they're going to lose. And if Russia
numbers, wherewithal.
Yeah, I mean, if Russia ever gets tired of it.
They have to have us keep sending them stuff. How is this possible?
If Russia gets tired of this war, David, they'll end it. Okay, one way or another, you know, they can do that via the conventional weapons that they've been using, an overwhelming force, and just go in there and just rattle their cages. They can do that, or they can take a nuke and just take them out that way. But, you know, one way or another, Russia's going to win. And I don't know. You'd have to be.
They're experimenting with EMPs, too, so
right.
It'd be easy to take them. Just shut down the country. Boom. Yeah. All right, you're done.
Yeah, and of course, now that kind of brings us back to the topic for today, America blessed versus cursed. Our history is that we have always supported Israel. We were the first country to officially recognize the state of Israel as a country when that country was established. We were not the first country to recognize them. There was a actually Russia was the first country to recognize Israel, but they didn't do it in an official form. I forget what the terminology was. I'll look it up and I'll have it next time. But they actually recognized Israel before anybody else. Russia, okay. And then the United States did the official thing with Truman later on, like the next day or the next week or something. So. Anyway, there's a lot of history here of America blessing Israel, but now for the first time, we're talking about cursing Israel. And what I mean by that is we got Secretary Blinken saying that they're going to sanction the IDF or something. I'm going to have to dig that up here in a second. Let me see. This is. Sanctioned national security minister, and this is being reported by Axios, that the U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken could announce the sanctions against IDF battalion Netzah Yehuda within days, marking the first time the United States will have placed sanctions on military units operated by Israel. It said that if sanctions are imposed, the battalion and its members would no longer receive any type of training or assistance from the U.S. military. Now, that's significant.
As if they need it.
Anyway, what do you think about this sanction thing?
I think it's the same thing, you know. Hey, cross this line. Remember Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam? Says, how cross this line? Oh, now this one. Now this one. Now this one. Now this
yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
Like Obama did. Israel's like, we're actually the ones teaching you all this cool stuff.
Right. Yeah.
What do you mean you're not going to give us any more training?
Where is our Iron Dome?
Right.
I mean, all these missiles launched at Israel, and one that blew up or got blown up in the air, some shrapnel metal fell down and killed a 7-year-old girl, an Arab girl, by the way, Muslim girl. That was what Iran accomplished with 350 missiles, or I'm sorry, 350 drones, guided missiles and ballistic missiles. They killed one little girl. That's it.
And you don't hear him complaining about that. If that was the other way around, we're like, hey, we're two. We had 300 went off, but, you know, fortunately, we only had one. They would be all over him. Oh, my God, they're killing children. And blah, 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 right. And on and on and on. No one even mentions it.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, they're actually Israel struck in Rafah on Monday, mm-hmm. and there were about a dozen or so people that were killed. And boy, that's, you know, nonstop coverage of that for sure. You know, Israel, oh, Israel's bombing terrorists. We can't allow them to kill terrorists. You know, good grief. Mm-hmm. I mean, this world is crazy, David. It's gone completely nuts.
Yeah. And, well, we're going to talk about that in the Bible study, too.
Absolutely, yeah. Fun. Yeah, and by the way, for those of y'all listening, the next show will be David's show. It's our midweek show. It's a Bible study. It's a comprehensive Bible study, verse by verse. And we're, I don't know, you're kind of bouncing around a little bit now, but basically we're still in Genesis, you know, so anyway.
Well, we're technically going the next verse, but then that, you know, verses always touch all the other verses. So
yeah, kind of, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing I learned.
In chapter one.
Yeah. 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 It's amazing. But, you know, I call it Paxton Seminary now. Me and David have this little thing. And I talk to him after the shows are over in between and all that, you know, say, okay, never been to seminary until I met you. Now I'm in one, you know, because that's really what the midweek is all about. It's learning, and I love it. I absolutely love it, and I encourage everybody to tune into it, no matter where you listen to us, whether it's on YouTube or, you know, at lastchristian.net or whatever, you know, any radio station that's covering us, get those shows for sure. If you don't tune into any other show, tune into that midweek study. That is just awesome. I love it. David, we're coming down to the end of the first half of the show here, and we still haven't really gotten into America Blessed or Cursed. We're going to do that in the second half. We're going to get detailed with it. I do have some reports here about the anti-Semitism that's going up there in your neck of the woods there in New York specifically, but also all across the country. This isn't just isolated to New York. You know, this is everywhere. And also Israel's plan for that last holdout area of Gaza in Rafah. I know that's a big discussion, and of course that's going to be something that the Biden administration does not want to have happen because it would mean a Israeli victory, and in my opinion, again. But anyway, that's really what it comes down to. Israel is not going to stop, and that makes Biden mad because he can't control anything, and he's losing his base of support with the Muslim community. That, I mean, that's mm-hmm. just a factual statement there. Anyway, we will be back after a very short break with the second half of Last Christian.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Julia Chapman. Five people, including a child, have died in the English Channel attempting to reach the UK. It comes hours after the British Parliament passed a law to send asylum seekers to Rwanda. John Beaver reports.
According to officials in France, a small boat with at least 110 people on board set off from a beach in a town south of Calais on Tuesday morning. They say the vessel hit a sandbank and a movement of people led to several victims. 47 people were rescued, while more than 50 others reportedly continued to cross the channel. They're among more than 6,000 people who've attempted the journey this year so far. Overnight, the British Parliament approved legislation that will allow the government to send migrants who make the crossing onwards to Rwanda. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has pledged to stop small boat crossings. But critics say the policy of deporting asylum seekers is cruel, expensive, and may breach international human rights law. John Beaver reporting.
Ukraine's military says up to 25,000 Russian troops are trying to storm the eastern city of Chasiv Yar. Megumi Lim reports from Kyiv.
Chasiv Yar is a strategic city located on higher ground in the partially occupied Donetsk region. If captured, it would give Russian forces an advantage to press on farther into key cities like Slovyansk and Kramatorsk. While additional military aid from the U.S. stalled, Russian forces were able to inch forward. But now that a long-delayed funding bill has passed the U.S. House of Representatives, Ukraine is hopeful it will be able to repel an expected Russian offensive in the coming weeks. U.S. officials have said after the bill's expected final approval this week, the first batch of military assistance will arrive in Ukraine within a matter of days, relieving troops from critical shortages of weapons and ammunition. Megumi Lim in Kyiv.
India's Election Commission is facing criticism for failing to act against hate speech after comments made by Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Over the weekend, Modi told an election rally that his opponents would distribute the country's wealth to what he called infiltrators if voted back into power, a reference to the country's minority Muslim community. Neha Punia has more.
When asked to comment on Modi's remarks and the action it was planning to take, the Election Commission simply said it declines to comment. Critics say the body is failing its duty to uphold constitutional norms that prevent parties from seeking votes in the name of religion. The BJP, though, has defended Mr. Modi's comments. Meanwhile, thousands of Indians have written to the Election Commission seeking action against Prime Minister Modi. They allege his speech is a direct attack on the Muslims of India. Neha Punia, New Delhi.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and joining me from New York, Mr. David Paxton. And David, I know we went way off, I won't say left, we went right, and
we went off the beaten path.
Yeah, and, you know, usually I don't get political, you know that, but today the United States deserves it because of the fact that I don't want to see us cursed as a country. I can only imagine what will happen to us. And didn't you say something at one time about every time the United States does something that's anti-Israel, we pay the price for it within 24 hours? Didn't you say something like that?
Yeah. If you follow the patterns, everything that we've done, I mean, there was Katrina was a big one.
Yeah.
A lot of different things. All these disasters come on the United States.
Yeah.
And it's people think, oh, that's just coincidence. Well, yeah, there's no word for coincidence in the Hebrew,
right?
Just so everybody knows. The whole idea is, well, God set everything in place at the beginning of creation because he knew what you were going to do, and he set the judgment forth. And that's the whole idea of the Matzaroth, which we've been talking about a lot as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, you said coincidence. I listened to one of our coaches in the football team that I follow. And he said, you know, the first time they make an error, it's a mistake. And the second time, it's a coincidence, maybe. And then the third time, that's a trend. Well, we're way over three. Over three. Okay. And if the United States really does come down with sanctions on Israel, there are things called EMPs that could go off. There are terrorist cells in the United States that could happen. I believe you're saying something about earthquakes, and the Bible calls for earthquakes in various places, and we got lots of faults here in the United States. You might want to let people know a little bit about earthquakes right now, because they're a little bit active.
And diverse places. I mean, Taiwan is getting hit today. Here we are, April 22nd. Mm-hmm. And they're just getting slammed over there. So I don't know what happened in Taiwan. It is on the Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
Which is a whole flood story. If we ever make it to chapter 6 in Genesis, we'll talk about that too.
That's right.
Where the fountains of the deep, I mean, the earth kind of cracked.
Uh-huh.
But we're seeing like 20 some odd earthquakes over there now. But they're all over the place. We even had just a couple weeks ago one in New York City, which we don't have.
Yeah, I mean, we were at the conference. It was we were at the Prophetic Signs and the Heavenlies conference there in Dallas, and I got up the second, I guess the second day we were, or first day we were there, first morning there.
Well, we were there a few days beforehand, but Friday,
I said, wow, there's earthquakes in New York. It was being reported, you know, and I said, David, have you seen this? He's like, yeah. I mean, you said, I think you got in touch with your wife, and you said the building that you guys live in shook and everything else, right?
The whole building was moving, and it's like, that's weird, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't huge, but for New York City, where we don't have them, it's huge.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider that the big ones happen on average every 400 years in New York.
Yeah.
So, okay. And the country's only been here, you know, 200 and something a nation, but, you know, a few years before that. So there are people that remember when the last big one was.
Oh.
But it, it wasn't any time in the history of our particular nation at this time. Yeah. So people don't think about it.
Right.
But when it happens because it's a solid rock. Manhattan is a solid rock, which is why they can build all those big buildings on it. So you feel everything. It's not like it's soft, so it's malleable. If it shakes, you feel it. And when it shakes, it's going to crumble because they bored holes all through it. Underneath is like Swiss cheese because of the tunnels. For the subways, you got the all the roads that go through, and then different levels of buildings. They build them several stories down, so there's holes there. And then all the water, the water tunnels, the electric tunnels, the gas tunnels, it's Swiss cheese under there. So when that big one does come, it's probably going to crumble the whole city.
Oh, man. Well, let's hope that that doesn't happen. I'm for your sake.
We'll rapture first.
That's, you know, the blessed hope, you know, and that's what we're talking about there with the rapture of the church. All Christians living and dead.
Revelation says that the entire earth will actually melt too. So that. Fortunately, we'll be out by then. And hopefully the earthquake doesn't happen before then.
Amen. Yeah. Okay. As you know, Israel has been at war in Gaza for, 7 weeks, I believe, something like that. And I got a report today. This is from the Israeli National News. And they are reporting that Egypt has been updated by Israel on their plan for Rafah. And, of course, Egypt is just to the south of Gaza. So they need to know this information because they're going to get a tremendous number of refugees headed toward Egypt whenever Israel makes this move. But according to the Egyptian officials there, Israel intends to send troops to Rafah gradually and to concentrate on areas where the defense establishment believes that the Hamas leaders are hiding. It says that the IDF is getting closer to completing their preparations for a ground operation in Rafah, and that was reported by the Wall Street Journal, by the way. The Egyptian officials have told the Wall Street Journal and others that the operation to evacuate civilians from the city would last 2 to 3 weeks and be done in coordination with the United States, Egypt, and other Arab countries, such as the United Arab Emirates. And according to the officials, Israel intends to send troops to Rafah gradually and to concentrate on the areas where the defense, where they believe that the leaders of Hamas are hiding. And then the officials said that the fighting is expected to last at least 6 weeks, so about double the time that they've already been there. Then an Israeli security official also told them that the operation will indeed happen and will have a very tight operational plan because it's very complex in there. And at the same time, that there will be a humanitarian response. So even though they're going to go in there and they're going to be, you know, doing a lot of damage and killing a lot of people, they're also going to be doing everything that they can to help civilians. And that's not going to be reported, is it, David? Mm-mm. The humanitarian effort. That's not going to happen.
No, of course not. They're going to find everything they can that's bad.
Yeah. All right. Mm. Back to America, blessed or cursed. Here we go. And this is the one that gets me. And by the way, this is our last news report. And you can see that it's just a half a page. Okay, it requires a lot of attention once I read it. Let's listen to this. This is according to, again, the Israel National News, that there was a recent anti-Israel pro-Hamas demonstration at Columbia University. By the way, that's still going on. And that they have seen calls there for a double Holocaust. That's what they're calling it. Calls for a double Holocaust. Now,
that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's this is kind of crazy. But anyway, it says that Columbia University has seen calls for a double Holocaust, not a second Holocaust, but a double one. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a second. How many Jews were killed during the Holocaust itself?
Third.
Yeah. So now we've got, it says in footage that emerged from Colombia, this, and they, by the way, the Israel National, I love the way that they worded this. I'm going to read it. This is from them. Don't blame me. They said this, not me, okay? In footage that has emerged from Colombia, hate orgy over the weekend, one of the protesters yelled at Jewish students and counter-protesters, remember the 7th of October. That will happen not one more time, not five more times, not 10 more times, not 100 more times, not 1,000 more times, but 10,000 more times. Now, in this report, it says about 1,200 people were murdered on October the 7th. And 10,000 times 1,200 comes out to 12 million people. Okay, now, that's something to really think about right there, because I believe, well, I'll read the rest of it and then you'll get it. This protester called for the extermination of double the number of Jews who were murdered by the Nazis during the Holocaust, and more than, this is key, more than two-thirds of the entire Jewish population worldwide. Now, it seems like the Bible says something about two-thirds of the Jews will be killed during the tribulation period.
Along those lines, yeah.
Yeah.
The, what's interesting is, no, that sounds like, that sounds like an imp. If you know what an imp is, it's one of those tiny little demons that really don't have much power.
Absolutely.
They like to boast a lot.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he read Zechariah and he's like, and now he's just, I'll show you, you know. And
you call him an imp, I call him an imbecile. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. They would just slap him in the head and say, shut up.
Yeah.
Because it really has nothing to do with them doing it. And we'll read that. So I'm in Zechariah chapter 13, which is really Zechariah. So say it right. Oh, and I mean, let's go back. Let's even back it up. Okay. Let's back up at the beginning of chapter 13. It says, in that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanliness. Okay. That's interesting, because then you got that whole red heifer thing. You're gonna, the ashes of the red heifer is what cleanses you from sin. So we're staring at this time period right here. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. So there we go. So Islam is going to be booted. And they shall no more be remembered. And I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass, when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. So he's going, that says, the Jews at that time will not believe when the real prophecies are coming from even their own sons. And it shall come to pass in verse 4, that the prophet shall be ashamed, everyone of his.
I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to hold you up for just a second, David. I want you to continue and read that, but just there for a second, you were breaking up a bit, so I wanted to let that straighten. I think we're good now. So go ahead and continue, please.
It shall come to pass in that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he has prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. So they're going to have these real visions from the Lord, and they're going to be like, what am I going to do with these? They're ashamed of them, because all the people are, you know, bad-mouthing them, basically.
Yeah.
But he shall say, I am no prophet. I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. Basically, I'm a farmer. No, I'm not a prophet.
Yeah.
Even though he's getting prophecies from the Lord. And one shall say to him, what are the wounds in thy hands? And he shall answer, those which with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. So here comes the Messiah, mm-hmm. and he shows himself to him, and he's like, these were, I was wounded by my friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's going to kind of open their eyes. So in verse 7, it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Again, a twofold prophecy, because that happened, you know, when Jesus was arrested.
Right.
And I will turn my hand upon the little ones, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die.
There you go.
But the third shall be left therein. So there's that prophecy of two thirds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what this imp is talking about.
Yeah.
And I will bring one third part through the fire and refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call upon my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, mm-hmm. and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Mm-hmm. So if you're coming against Israel, let me tell you right now, let me be real, real clear about this.
Okay.
All you people that say, oh, they're not the real Jews and they're synagogue of Satan, you got a problem. Okay, mm-hmm. because they came back the exact day that God prophesied they would be back.
Amen.
All right, so if you're saying that these are the synagogue of Satan, you may just be poking your finger in the eye of God by his people.
Right.
Now, that's not to say that, you know, they're, you know, in perfect condition. Hey, we worship Israel. No, they're apostate at this point, and he even talks about that. Listen, this is going to happen, mm-hmm. but crux of this, the bottom line is that one third will come through the fire. They will repent and they will call upon his name. That's what you need to be praying for. Father, Amen. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Careful with that, because if you do otherwise, you are calling God a liar.
Right.
And that won't sit well at the judgment seat.
No, it will not. And that's one place I do not want to see any part of the great white throne of judgment. I do not want to see that. And I am confident that I won't, because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I fail him every day, but at least I try, you know. And so I'm going to stand before the Bema Seat. That's a completely different destination mm-hmm. with a completely different result. And David, just for a mm-hmm. second, why don't you kind of explain the difference between those two things? Because I know you can do it a lot better than I can, and I know there's confusion yeah. out there.
There's the Great White Throne is at the end of the tribulation period, and that is different than what's called the Bema Seat. Basically, a Bema Seat, if you can, like the Olympics, where it's not a judgment where you're going to get judged for all the things you've done wrong, because we are actually in the blood of Jesus, and he already paid for them.
Right.
So there is no judgment there. We are sinless. He traded his righteousness and took our sin. That's what the Bible says. He says he took on our sin so we can have his righteousness. Mm-hmm. So when we go before God, we're righteous. However, if you look at the flip side of that same thing, you do have rewards. Mm-hmm. So people that get in by the skin of their teeth, I mean, there's rumors that John Wayne accepted as the Savior on his deathbed. Mm-hmm. So he'll get into heaven, but yeah. there's no rewards associated with that, because right. he didn't lead people to Christ. As, say, you know, a Billy Graham was, that, you know, just
right.
so he's got all these different rewards. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, whatever your gifting was, if you were following that, if you're a teacher. Great. Okay, so even a little Sunday school teacher, you're bringing up all those children in the fear
right.
of the Lord.
Amen.
How many of them? Those are crowns for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a crown for just longing for his appearing. There's a crown of righteousness mm-hmm. just because we're saying, Lord, are you coming today?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So therein lies all these people say, oh, yeah, they're the rapture. No, Matthew 24, it says after these things. Yeah, that's when the second return is. But mm-hmm. he also said he's glorified, you know, blessed is he who is looking for the Lord.
Amen.
Every moment, even back when he just left, they're like, is he coming back?
Right.
It's been a week. but that's what he loves. I mean, how would you like it if you're the groom and you come back and your bride's like, oh, you're here?
I wasn't ready
or
for
you. You want to come back to a bride that says, man, I've been waiting for you. I've been looking every day for 2,000 years.
Yeah, right.
I'm so glad you're finally here.
Right.
That's what he wants.
Amen.
And, it, you know, the same thing goes along the lines of the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, we're here. He's given us gifts, and you're like taking his beautiful, oh, look at these pearl earrings, you know, and look at this, look at that, look at all these different gifts. Mm. Oh, I'm going to put that aside. There's no gifts. And he comes back, and you're not wearing his necklace. It's like, do you really love me?
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
That's kind of where we're at. You know, there's two different things there. We're looking for the appearance, but that when we get to the Bema seat, that is a rewards seat. That's what, like the Olympics. Okay, what did you get? Well, I got first place. I got the gold. Well, I got silver. You know, okay, great. You're getting all your rewards for all these different things. One of them is looking for him. One of them is, you know, preaching, evangelizing. Any gift that you've been given, that's the reward day.
Right.
The great white judgment seat is, okay, you're coming before God, and he's a just judge, so he has to put it up. Okay, you're here. But remember, the saved people are already in heaven. We're past that. So he's bringing up all these people. Oh, look, you still have sin. Depart from me.
Yeah.
You have sin. Depart from me. And not only that, there's so much time because we're in the eternal realm that he plays out your entire life and points out every last little incident that you've ever done before everyone else in the universe.
Man. Yeah. And it's like I said, I don't want any part of the great white throne of judgment. Thank you very much. Y'all can keep that one.
Just
y'all
can leave those sins in the blood of Christ. Thank you very much.
Y'all can keep that one for. All right, I looked up a thing here. It's called Never Thirsty, the Light Master Ministries. Okay, and this is just during my research, every now and then I come across something like this. Anyway, it says, where does the Bible say that we should support Israel? The Abrahamic covenant. And anyway, it says the answer here is that there are two important passages in the Bible where God promises to bless those who support Israel and to curse those who do not. The first one is found in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. In this passage, God gives Abraham three promises. He says, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and that's according to the NASB version. Now, on down here, it said that God promises the land to Israel. The first part of God's promise to Abraham was land. Today the land is called Israel. This promise is repeated in Genesis 15, 18 through 21 and 17, 8 in Exodus 23, 28 through 31, which describes the boundary of the land as existing from the Red Sea to the wilderness of the Euphrates River. And there is a more detailed description of the promised land given in Numbers 34, 1 through 13. So it also makes it clear in here that at some point in the future, God's going to give them all their land back. They've been reduced to this little sliver of land there, but there's a huge area that's actually called Israel, right, David?
Yeah, it goes all the way to where Iran and Iraq are over there now. It takes all their land. It takes Syria up to the top, goes down towards Egypt, Saudi Arabia, the whole area.
Now, also, it said, again, according to this site, and by the way, this is all good. It's all factual information that I'm giving you, and this is the same thing here, that God will punish the sins of anti-Semitism. And I can't think of anything that fits better right now than that, because we're seeing it explode all across the United States. David, is it as bad in New York as what the media is making it out to be, or is that just like little cells, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, they're basically little pockets. I mean, not for nothing, everybody from the entire world lives here. So, you know, they learn to get along or else it would just be chaos.
Right.
You do have the people that will come in and they'll try and start that because it is the city. You know, and then what they do, they group them all up and then they take this video like, there's so many people, you know, like they do at church, and they're like, hey, everyone's sitting in front, so it looks like there's people here.
Yeah.
When we're on TV, you know the rules. So, it's not as bad. Because let me tell you something. If they did that here, with the Jewish population that's here, I'm not sure if they'd be missing or not the next day.
Well, I'm reading this stuff here. It says that Ezekiel 25 demonstrates that God will punish the sins of anti-Semitism and anti-Judaism. Not only will God punish those who attack Israel, but he'll punish those who rejoice that Israel suffers. I think that's an important point to make, because I saw a lady there, I believe it was in New York, where this lady was screaming, I am Hamas. In other words, I'm a terrorist. They were raising their hand and waving, I'm a terrorist. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I used
Why don't you
to
go
think,
over there and you would find out how much of a terrorist you really are.
Yeah, like, I mean, I used to try to defend them, and say they didn't really understand what they're saying when they say, from the river to the sea. But they understand it exactly. Mm-hmm. They know exactly what they're saying. They are trying to exterminate the Jews, and God's not going to let it, and Israel's not going to let it happen either. And so they're out of luck one way or the other. The United States has got to step up, or we're going to step out. That's how I'm looking at this.
I think the funniest part is when you get the alphabet people over here, and the rainbow minus a line.
Right.
They're up there supporting Hamas, and I just find that hysterically ironic.
Insane is what it is.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's send you over there and see what happens.
They would be executed immediately.
In a heartbeat.
without a trial. If they were to go over to any true Islamic country, any of them, okay, and say that they were gay or that they were LGBTQ plus whatever, instant death. That's what they're saying. Yeah.
They wouldn't even bring the person up to trial. The guy who did it. Oh, why'd you kill that guy? Well, okay, never mind.
Okay. Yeah. So America is facing a choice right now. If we go through with this and we sanction Israel, get ready. Buckle up. Something's going to happen. Okay. That's not a prediction. That's God's telling us that's going to happen. History says it will. So you better look out. You better hope that we don't sanction Israel. If so, you better buckle up because it's coming. Now, look. You can avoid all problems, and you can make sure that you're saved for eternity. All you've got to do is say a quick prayer to God in your own words and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know he spent 3 days in a tomb. I know he rose on that third day just like he said he would. I know he was seen by more than 500 people at the same time. I know he promised to come back and get his church before God unleashed his wrath on it. I know he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's waiting on that instruction to go get his church. And if you will pray that in Jesus' name, you will be saved. And you won't have to worry about those 7 horrific years of tribulation, years that are the worst that the earth has ever seen and worse than it will ever see again. You can avoid all that by simply accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and then following him all the remaining days of your life to the very best of your ability. And we hope that you'll do that, because that's the whole purpose of this show, is to find that last individual that will accept Christ before the rapture. Yeah, you can accept him after, but why go through the tribulation when you don't have to? Hope you'll tune in on the next show, because that will be David's show coming up next. And we look forward to going through this verse by verse comprehensive Bible study. Until next time, good night.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.